The Morning Jam with Janet Rose and Mark Lamb.
Chris Feraldi's joining us this morning to talk about all things Lynchburg. We're glad you're joining us this morning.
All things Lynchburg. I don't know if I can take that on.
But I don't know.
We could try.
Probably.
We could certainly try.
I mean, when you think about it, that's what you guys do.
Well, that's what you're supposed to do.
That's what you're supposed to do. Right?
Yeah.
So, several things going on right now in Lynchburg. Yeah. We had the Blue Ridge Pregnancy Center on earlier this week talking about the attack that they suffered last week. Last weekend.
That made national news, by the way, last night. It was on Fox News.
Yep, it did. Yeah. It did. Yeah, we had that. We've had, I think it was 2 days in a row, shootings. We had business closures. I mean, it's one heck of a time to be in Lynchburg. That's for sure. So, yeah, whatever you want to start with, you let me know, and you know, I'm happy to offer my two cents. That's for sure.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Well, before we do, just real quick, we had dinner with some friends last night, and they know what I do, and I mean, the topic was, what's the deal with all these shootings? Are we becoming Richmond? That was the comment made.
Starting to feel that way.
Yeah,
about eight of us at a table.
Well, I mean, the.
So, I don't think I've ever seen you at a loss for words.
Well, no. Look, I'll put it plainly. In the past few years, city council has voted more times to increase their own starting pay than to hire more police officers.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
So where are our priorities? We increased its starting pay for police officers this year. That's a good step, yes. Mm-hmm. But we're still 30 officers short. We need 20... I think it's 30 more officers to get to suitable staffing from 20 years ago, by the way.
Wow.
In the past 20 years, we've cycled through the entire police force twice.
Wow.
That's 300 police officers. I mean, like, this is stuff I'm not making it up. It's all publicly accessible. And, you know, why is crime up? COVID, yes. We all know the impacts of that. But government impacted it far more than what we ever experienced by the virus itself, I would say. And you know,
well, and we also have issues, and we hear from our listeners about this a lot. About, you know, we seem to be a launching pad for officers. They don't stay here, so then we don't have the experience that we need. And one of the things that we've been following a lot lately is this I think it's a murder on Kemper Street that our police officers said that the guy died of natural causes. You don't even have to be brilliant to look at the footage that's readily available online to see that there was somebody there when that guy died, who left, came back, wiped his fingerprints off, and then skipped town to Tennessee.
Well, I mean, look at the couple ones just in the past few days. This is the third shooting within a few blocks of our Lynchburg Little League baseball fields in Miller Park. And
I'm not beating up the police.
I don't want you
to think I'm beating up the police department.
Absolutely.
But when stories like that are coming out, Houston, we have a problem.
Well, and the message we hear is, well, it's nationwide. It's not just us. Well, then wait a minute. We're part of the problem. We're not leading for the solution. And that's what I've been trying to do in addressing these issues. And really, we need more police on the streets. We need more community engagement with those police officers. And we need to be paying them, leading the region when it comes to law enforcement, to make sure we have the best talent in the city of Lynchburg, because the city of Lynchburg deserves the best. Then it also ties into what you mentioned first, was the pregnancy center.
Right.
You know, we see what happened with Roe versus Wade, and regardless of what you may feel about that issue one way or the other, it is not to be tolerated in Lynchburg, in my mind, that you go to a organization that had nothing to do with it. It's right. Not even like they were engaging on the issue and then they brought it on themselves in a negative way.
They're just providing a service for women that want an alternative.
A service, a ministry, a nonprofit even. It's not looking to make a dime.
Right.
But so at our last council meeting, I officially requested a resolution for all of city council to unify and join hands on. I will not, you know, belittle the notion that I am one to, or belittle or whatever you want to say. I am one who has criticized council quite often. I realize this. We disagree on policy a lot. This is one thing I think, especially given this political climate, where I think all seven of us can come together and say, you know what?
Should be able to.
we are going to condemn violent actions against businesses, organizations, or anything else. We're going to come out and stand unified as one body against this kind of activity mm-hmm. that happened against the pregnancy center. But we're also going to address, we support and encourage folks. If you want to protest, we actually encourage you to be a part of the civic
sure.
process. Absolutely. And so that was my request. And I'm hopeful that at the end of this month, July, which, wow, can't believe it's July, mm-hmm. We will have a document that all seven of us can vote on that ultimately speaks to our unified condemnation and total admonishment of the threatening messages, violence, vandalism that was perpetrated against the pregnancy center.
The other thing is, they were sent an open letter of threats against them. You know, my question is why? Well, I guess I know the answer, because we said this on the air. Why weren't we patrolling those areas more? Why weren't we being extra vigilant during that time? Because we said it mm-hmm. on Friday. Things are gonna
They're gonna go away. There are many
questions to be asked. I communicated an extra level of concern based on what I was hearing and seeing, both from Richmond and around the Commonwealth. My immediate reaction was for the LU Godparent Home and the pregnancy center.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And I communicated that same concern. And when I learned about this really tragic attack.
Yeah, so much damage was done in a very short period of time.
I was quite angry. We have other soft targets all throughout the city, if you want to call those that, or hard targets. I don't know what the official term is, but the Catholic churches in the area. Mm-hmm. Those are organizations mm-hmm. around mm-hmm. the United States that have been targeted.
Churches in general.
Yeah. So, you know, I really think, and some may ask, you know, what does passing a resolution do? That doesn't solve anything. No. But what it does do is it shows the community, so it shows the region that, wait a minute, even in this divided political climate, in all this time that we're in right now that is very really hard,
divisive, yeah, we can come together,
we can come together as leaders and one body, as neighbors mm-hmm. more than anything else, and say this is not right, and mm-hmm. we recognize that it's not right, and that's really what we need to do, is wrap our hands around this issue and say this is the right thing to do, and I look forward to seeing that document in its entirety later this month and voting for it, because it's the right thing to do. Mm-hmm.
The other thing that we seem to have going on in not just in Lynchburg, but around the listening areas, is you have two groups of people. You have people who say, oh, that's not going to happen here. They're just completely delusional in thinking that their community is absolutely safe. That stuff you see happen in other places. So they don't pay attention. And then you have other people who just don't want to get involved.
Yeah.
I mean, we have not one, but two suspects that are on the streets right now mm-hmm. that we're looking for. Richard Lamont McDaniel, who's 44, Taurus Lamont McDaniel, who's 41. They're both from Lynchburg. They're wanted on that shooting on Poplar Street. They're armed robbery, malicious wounding, shooting from a vehicle, use of a firearm in commission of a felony. They're considered armed and dangerous, and they are at large right now. Mm-hmm. But if the community doesn't get involved, if the community's not part of the solution, if you see something and you don't say something, yeah. we're not going to get anywhere
no.
about this.
No, and it ties back to...
So how do we get, you know...
There are so many declines that we're seeing. I was blessed to grow up in a family that had a mom and a dad who both loved me and equipped me to be successful in life. Mm-hmm. Part of that was a strong component of my faith in Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. That may or may not be involved with a lot of folks around the community, around the region. But what are we doing to equip with education? What are we doing to equip you with jobs? What are we doing to equip you with all these different things?
And to be a part of the solution.
And at the same time, what is government doing to step in and potentially do too much to enable you to not be incentivized to grow yourself professionally and develop?
Well,
there are so many layers to this that I am not surprised that we are seeing a violent spike during the summer, because that's what we've seen the past couple of years. And until we have an increased no-nonsense tolerance of violence in our streets and a fully staffed public safety, you know,
apparatus, world, yeah, sure.
apparatus, that's mm-hmm. a better word, thank you, you know, we're going to see this. And I stand ready to continue to push for, you know, what can we do to continue to bring jobs in? What can we do to continue to keep the city safe? And no matter what you're doing in this city, you know that we're going to keep you safe. Right now, we're not doing a great job at that, I think.
Let's take a break here. Let's talk about jobs when we come back, because we had an announcement about a company. We're going to lose 670 jobs by 2023.
And it's not the first one we've lost.
Right. You have some stats on some other businesses that have left our region. Right now, we have Chris Feraldi in the studio, city councilman from Lynchburg. We'll come back and talk with him about that and other things. 718, we'll also have a Friday Funny to lighten up things just a little bit. It's the Morning Jam with Janet Rose and Mark Lamb and Chris Feraldi.
The Morning Jam with Janet Rose and Mark Lamb.
So you can relax. Not everybody in the Ozarks lives in a trailer park, okay? There is a huge waiting list. It doesn't just happen overnight. We start with a pickup truck and a camper shell, and we build and we dream and we pray. We have a vision board with a double wide on there. And then we manifest that. We get our double wide and we hope things go great. You've all seen that half a trailer going down the highway. That's an Ozark divorce.
Oh, gosh, that's so naughty. So bad.
Oh, wow. Seen a lot of divorces then.
When I first got married, I was super, super young. And we were saving for our house. We lived in a single wide that was on a parent's property. Mm-hmm. And I had nightmares. I literally had nightmares.
Somebody's going to hitch it up?
No, I just did not want to become satisfied.
Oh, okay.
I wouldn't even put curtains up.
Wow.
Like I had, there were no curtains anywhere.
Cardboard newspaper.
There was a beach towel on the bathroom.
Wow.
I was like, we will not be happy here. So it was just, it was very.
You weren't going to settle. Good for you.
Well, but I mean, you know, there's nothing wrong with living in a trailer.
Oh, absolutely not.
At all. But for me, this was like not just any trailer. This was like a circa 1970 something.
This is pre-copper. These are the ones that they ran aluminum wiring and they would catch on fire.
Well, and it's like a tin can, and mm-hmm. it's really hot in the
right.
summer. Anyway, I digress. We are here this morning talking with our second part of our interview with Chris Feraldi. Before we went to break, we were talking about another plant that's closing in Lynchburg. Not quite 700 jobs, but really close.
670,
are going to be lost, and we were talking off the air about how many jobs we've lost in the Lynchburg area mm-hmm. over the past few years.
Yeah. Well, first and foremost, I mean, with this closure, it's 675 families that live in this area that now likely have to find a new primary source of income.
Mm-hmm.
And that is just, it's really, really a tough pill to swallow given everything going on in the economy.
Right.
Ultimately, it comes back down to leadership. What is this city council doing to lead this city to build jobs out, to build the business community, to support that business community, to keep and maintain what we have and expand to more? We were talking about some of the job closures. And one of the things I found, just very quick search, and just in the last 3 years, from 2019, from WDBJ7, LSC Communications to close in Lynchburg, leaving more than 300 without a job.
Mm-hmm.
Then in 2020, Genworth moving employees out of downtown Lynchburg location, followed by Genworth Financial, a major Lynchburg employer, notifying employee job cuts. And that was another 200 or so job cuts right there. I mean, I literally just provided 1,000 jobs in the last 3 years that have left the city of Lynchburg. What are we doing to create Lynchburg to be the leader in mm-hmm. Central Virginia for the business community? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was asked yesterday, well, Chris, what would you do as a city council member to, you know, to fix some of that? Well, first and foremost, I'd be looking at our tax code, our structure. Are we doing anything to incentivize development mm-hmm. right. for manufacturers to come in? Well, that'd be number one.
And not only that, I mean, earlier in the week, we had Miss Joy in from Miss Joy's Delicious Treats.
Yeah, the bakery.
Oh, yeah bakery mm-hmm. downtown. Mm-hmm. And she was talking about how difficult it is to make it right now. It's just really, mm-hmm. really difficult right. for small businesses to make it. So it's not just the big businesses that are suffering. And one of the things that she mentioned was, you know, the taxes that they have to pay, the mm-hmm. meals taxes and things like that.
Yep.
I mean, is there, it seems like this current city council just wants to add more tax onto people.
And if you look at the revenues right now, as of the last report, Lynchburg is $6 million over projected. And if that continues, we're projecting to be close to $15 million over the surplus that we were projecting. And last year was $25 million.
But why aren't we passing that along to these businesses that are struggling so much?
No,
they're struggling so
hard. What we do is
hard.
We tear their streets up for years on end. It's amazing to me.
I know that some of that stuff has to take place.
You have to upgrade infrastructure.
Lines.
But there's got to be a better way to do
it. And we've got to pay law enforcement more. We've got to pay our firefighters better. We've got to pay our 911 dispatchers more. The mm-hmm. trash folks. We have to.
What are they saving it for?
That is the role of government. I am fully ready to commit to investing in public safety, infrastructure, all those things, because that is what we are supposed to be doing from mm-hmm. a government perspective. But, you know, when I'm looking at, for example, millions of dollars going to what? We spent $400,000 of federal money on trash cans to go throughout the city. We're spending, you know, X hundred thousand dollars to put, you know, upgrade city council chamber tech. I mean, everything needs to be analyzed. Mm-hmm. But also, looking at the jobs, looking at the economy, we need people who are serious, who don't just talk a strong game, to say, in the past 3 years, just these three articles alone, we lost 1,000 jobs just in the city of Lynchburg. What is our regulation like? What is our tax burden like? What are we doing to create pad-ready sites? For those who don't know, that means we have created a location where uh-huh. a business can come in and boom.
The incubator we did years ago.
Put up walls and go. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What are we doing?
Right.
Because that's not happening. The same amount of people who are in poverty as 10 years ago are still in poverty in mm-hmm. Lynchburg. Lynchburg had the slowest growing economy over the last 10 years. And now we're seeing 1,000 fewer jobs. The slowest growing economy in all of the Commonwealth. ODU put the report out earlier this year. I encourage listeners to go take a look at it. Now you got me preaching, Janet.
Well, let's talk about that for a minute.
We got about a minute and a half here.
We need to talk about not just the problems, but how can people become involved with the solution? What's the best thing for them to do?
The best thing to do, number one, of course, is pray. Be involved in that. We need.
But you got to put feet on the prayer, so that means you got to be communicating.
Pray like it's all on the Lord. Act like it's all on you. I mm-hmm. get it. And then be galvanized to get out and move. If your tax burden went up, get involved. Knock your neighbor's door.
Speak to your representative.
Speak to your representative. Tell them what you expect.
Who they work for.
And then on top of that, make sure you get out and vote. And I know, and I'm so thankful for you guys, because what you do every single time is you remind them, well, what can we do?
Right.
And that is it. But ultimately, we need to know the facts. And the facts are there are 1,000 fewer jobs in Lynchburg over the last 10 years, the slowest growing economy in all of Virginia.
And
this city council is saying, it's not as bad as they're making it out to seem, guys. Don't vote the Republicans in.
The emperors have no clothes. The emperor has beautiful clothes on. You'll love it.
I'm looking forward to seeing everybody at the 4th of July events around town. I wish you both a happy 4th of July.
And you as well.
And looking forward to actually celebrating this country and everything great that it stands for.
Speaking Amen. Of which, we're going to be talking about patriotism. Are people as patriotic as they used to be?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it taking a hit from all the parties. We'll let you know about that.
The Morning Jam with Janet and Mark. We are the Virginia Talk Radio Network.